following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
I'm Colin Coward, and I've got big news for allergy sufferers. The number one prescribed antihistamine, Allegra, is available without a prescription. The same exact allergy medication, same full prescription strength, right on the shelf. Among OTC brands, only Allegra combines fast, non-drowsy 24-hour relief for your toughest allergy symptoms on the first dose. Starts working in an hour to relieve sneezing, runny, itchy, watery eyes, and itchy nose or throat, all without drowsiness. Allegra, full prescription strength relief without any of that fuzzy, groggy feeling you may get from other medicines. And Allegra works all day long. Choose once per day or twice per day tablets. For added relief from nasal congestion and sinus pressure, choose Allegra D. Big news, full prescription strength without a prescription over the counter. Have it all with Allegra on the shelf at your local retailer. Use as directed.
At the KXPN Studios News Desk, I'm Merritt Lawson. Local radio hosts Doug Duda and Big Daddy Tony Davis will no longer have speaking roles on Wednesdays. Due to Big Red Lunch's Loperlink and Bob Jensen, there's just no more room in the show for them.
Au contraire, bonjour.
You know we couldn't keep the guys out of the show. So despite a busy show, the guys will get you ready for all your favorite high school teams, your UNK Lopers, and the Nebraska Huskers. Now live at one of your Big Red Lunches, here's Doug Duda and Big Daddy Tony Davis.
And a good Wednesday morning, everyone. Wednesday puts everybody in a good mood. I like Wednesdays. It gets us to Husker lunch. That's number one. But it's the middle of the week. You get into the weekend. You're starting to see great contests Thursday night for basically everything but football. Friday night, you got high school football. And then you get into the weekend of college athletics, no matter what it is. And tonight, you've got the Huskers and Penn State kicking off the start of the Big Ten volleyball season, and what a way that is to start. We've got so much to talk about here from Cunningham's Journal Malop, and we invite you to come down and join us. Steve Sipple for our Husker Lunch will be on hand for the Lincoln Journal Star at 12 noon today. He'll be talking about the Huskers against Washington. He'll be talking about the Huskers through the first three games, and most importantly, he'll be answering your questions. Whatever you've got, player changes we've seen. Jared Crick has not practiced the last couple of days. Folks, we're not hearing that it's anything major, okay? And again, you have to walk that fine line about what's going on with Jared Crick, but he is out for, or any player that may have an injury. It sounds like after practice yesterday, Carl Pelini likes Denner maybe to play this week. That's what everybody has been talking about for 3 weeks. But, Tony, I just want to welcome you to the program because I have breaking news right after you say hi to the folks.
Well, Doug, it's great to be at this Husker Lunch, and you mentioned the volleyball game tonight. Can I be the first one to say from Chad Purcell on the Omaha World Herald today front page, Nebraska holds the 11-6 edge in this series. You know how many other teams can say that over Penn State? I would do a zero. I don't know that for a fact. I have not looked that up. But 11-6, Nebraska is 11. They have 6 wins in the 17 matches they played. I would venture that no other team across this nation can say that. With the success Penn State volleyball has had, I think that's an interesting thing to point out tonight. Should be a great match. Should be an electric atmosphere in the Coliseum.
When was the last time you had a bad day? Bad night, bad couple of hours? I mean, how long has it been? I mean, does it pop into your head the last time you went, good God, get me out of here. What's going on? This ain't good.
It's been a while.
Okay.
It's been a while.
Not as bad as this dude. I'm guessing if he's from Oregon, he may have come out to watch Nebraska-Washington. Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
Let me get this to you. And then later on in the show, Mike Munch, UNK soccer coach, is going to join us in this segment. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, is going to join us in our next segment. Steve Sipple at the end of the program before he talks to the folks here at Cunningham's is going to talk to us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I've got this for you. I think you'll like it.
Is this similar to the cat smoking the pot?
No. This is up there, maybe not quite as good. An Oregon man's trip to the University of Nebraska Lincoln Police Station's front desk did not score him the blackjack chips he was seeking, but it did land him in a detox cell for the night. A 21-year-old man wandered into the station Saturday night after the Nebraska game against Washington, approached the front desk and asked for blackjack chips, thinking he was in a casino. Staff at the front desk told the man they didn't have any chips. So he left. When he returned to the station a few minutes later, officers administered a blood alcohol test and then decided to place him into protective custody. A police sergeant said the man had not committed a crime and was not arrested, but they did throw him in detox to sober him out. His blood alcohol, 0.273. which is not funny in its own right. But
at least the six times over.
I know people that this could have happened to.
You know what? I'll be honest. I've been hammered before.
No.
But never in my life have I thought about asking for blackjack chips in a non-casino area.
Look, bright lights. Must be a casino here in Lincoln.
Flashing lights.
That sure is a pretty officer costume you're wearing there.
Change 500. Hell, I'd have took the 500. I'd have given him some potato chips and sent him on his way. I'd have put it to the kids' home there in Lincoln or something. Put it to good use.
You're from Oregon, never been to a game day in Lincoln. You're thinking, boy, this is a hoot. I love this place. Throwing a casino, it couldn't get any better. Except there wasn't one.
Oh, my goodness, goodness, goodness. Well, that's how we start our show off today, and it's time as Wednesday, as always, for our Loper Link. Oh, did you want Dan Beebe fired? Like Oklahoma?
You know what? I wanted that a long time ago. That's another interesting topic. Hopefully on Friday's show, we're going to effort to Barry Trammell from the Oklahoma, because he's the one getting the Chip Brown information from the Oklahoma side of things right now. And
so great.
It is so great. And I think a lot of people are jumping on now saying, well, where was he at for Nebraska? That's what's coming out. They're saying there was no leadership shown when Nebraska wanted to leave, when Colorado wanted to leave. We didn't listen to any of their concerns. And it's tough to do much thinking when your head's jammed so far up the Lost Dodgers ass that you can't hardly think.
What are you saying? Wait a minute. What are you saying?
I think he likes Texas.
Let me ask your opinion. I think this will be our new ATS poll question that goes up today, the ATS hot topic. Do you want the Big 12 to stay together? Do you?
You know, when you come from the north, I guess you feel bad for the teams that are going to be left out. There's two teams from a Nebraska standpoint. You don't feel bad about getting left out of the deal, and that would be Texas and Missouri from my standpoint. You feel bad for Iowa State because there's really nowhere for them to go. You feel bad for Kansas State because really they bring nothing to anybody's table. Kansas has got a great basketball program. They probably go to the Big East. I don't know that for sure, but they would fit in better basketball-wise in the Big East. You go right down the list, Oklahoma State. Okay, they're a top 10 team right now, but they haven't been. This is a rise to prominence, and with T. Boone Pickens there, maybe they're going to be one of those teams. Oklahoma, yeah, they're a solid team. People want them in their conference. Texas Tech's done some good things on the football field. Basically, though, you throw out the basketball theory, it's all football and it's all money.
I think Oklahoma State's attractive. You got T. Boone Pickens, as you said. Their football team is good right now. Their men's basketball team has plenty of tradition. Their baseball team has plenty of tradition. Maybe they haven't been great the last couple of years, but they make it to the College World Series. So we'll see what happens. Our previous ATS hot topic was, will there be NBA basketball this season? We give you three choices. Yes, no, don't care.
Let me
yes,
don't care one out.
Yes, 0%. No, 33%. Don't care, 60%. 7%. Our new ATS poll question, do you want the Big 12 Conference to stay together? Right now, let's go to our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank. Kearney, let Russ Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons, they have the loans, and by Garrett Tire, Tread, and Appliance. On the Farm Tire Service, foam-filled industrial tires for no more flats or downtime. Call Garrett Tires and Treads for details or check them out online at GarrettTire.com. .net. There is so many good things to talk about at UNK right now. They have the National Volleyball Player of the Week in Ashley Leitner. The Loper volleyball team won last night over Hastings College. They remain unbeaten on the season. And finally, the UNK soccer team gets to return home. And our guest today is head coach Mike Munch. They'll get a Friday afternoon game against Colorado Christian at 12 noon at Foster Field. And then Colorado State Pueblo comes in on Sunday at 1, the typical Friday Sunday matchup. And Coach, thanks for joining us here at Cunningham's today. I know you're probably glad to be home.
Well, all things considered, I'm definitely glad to be home. I don't know how many of our listeners know, but we had a little extended road trip this weekend on the way back from Durango, which in itself is a pretty long trip. We had, number one, an alteration in the actual path that we had to follow home. One road was closed, so we had to cut up through the mountains through the center part of the state. And then 2 o'clock, just outside of Julesburg, we had a flat tire on our bus. So we limped into a rest stop and waited for a couple hours for a guy to come by and change her tire. We thought we would roll into Kearney about 4 a.m., but we got in right at 8 o'clock on Monday morning.
Certainly not a lot of fun for anybody, and there's been horror stories. And moving to the new conference, that's supposed to alleviate some of those. When you first came to Kearney, did you understand the road schedule in which you were going to have to be on?
Yeah, you know, you understand it in the sense that you know where the schools are and the location, but, you know, I guess since you've actually been on that bus, headed over all those passes, you don't really get an appreciation for it. So this past weekend was, unless the tournament is at a mountain location, that'll be our last trip through the mountain. So we do go to Denver a couple of times. We'll go down to Highlands again. But at least right now, we don't have any more mountainous passes that we have to cross the rest of the season.
Mike Munch, UNK soccer coach, is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You just got done playing the number 3 team in the country on Sunday in Fort Lewis. 4-2 is the score. Got a couple goals on the board. That's how the sports information department is spinning this game. But how does Coach Mike Munch talk about this?
Sure, yeah. We scored a couple goals, didn't we? yeah, it was an odd game. All 6 goals were scored within about a 15-minute span of the first half. We were, unfortunately, at sea on a lot of their goals. We basically gifted them about 3 of the 4 that they scored. Combination of people in the wrong place, making the wrong decisions. Altitude didn't help. People were out there struggling to get from point A to point B at certain occasions. We give up the first 2, but the nice thing was we immediately fought back and tied it up. Ashton Pulowski scored a nice goal. Raleigh Mercer scored a nice goal. From giving up 2 quick ones to being back to 2-2, we thought, well, now if we could just get things settled for a little bit, we'll be okay. Unfortunately, we turn right back around and give up another 2, and we're struggling. So 4-2 at halftime, you really don't know what to expect. And after the goals free from both teams in the first half, both teams go scoreless the second. But again, yeah, they're a good team. They play an attractive style, a tough style to deal with. Again, at their place, it's elevation, so you're always going to struggle a little bit dealing with that. But, at the end of the day, 4-2 is a respectable score. It's just how did we get there and how did that happen that we spent yesterday and today trying to fix.
Obviously, a young team. When you start a program, coach, you make some waves. You get a first win your first year. You don't expect a lot of wins, I don't think, the first year. Now as you move on, is the next step for a program? Do you need a big win over a top 20, a top 10 team? What's the next step?
Well, our next step and sort of our goal is to make the conference tournament. And I think what you're saying, to get to that goal, we are going to have a big win here or there. It's not that, we can pinpoint a certain program or a certain team that we have to step up against to get to where we need to be. There's enough quality opponents that we face on a regular basis that we just need to get one somewhere here or there. Now, the converse side of that is we need to make sure we take care of schools that are sort of not at the upper echelon, that are sort of in our secondary echelon, and that's where we are this weekend. We're on a tough road trip. We always knew that was going to be tough for us to get a couple of results. But we come back home after a couple of weeks on the road. We play Colorado Christian. We play Pueblo, 2 schools that we hope to have success against. And if we take care of business there, that'll put us in position to deal with some of the schools that are the traditional powers in the conference. But, we feel pretty good. We're pretty healthy. So we think we're going to give it the best shot we can this weekend.
UNK soccer coach Mike Munch is with us for another couple minutes here. We're live at Cunningham's. We invite you to come down and join us for our Husker lunch. Steve Sipple will be here to talk to the folks about a little Husker football at noon. Let me ask you that question. You just came back from the altitude. A lot is being made in Nebraska going out to Wyoming altitude-wise. Just from your perspective, what aspect of the game does it really affect? Do you have to give people more breathers? Do you have to play more players? Or do you just have to be in shape?
Well, soccer, it's a little bit different than the rest of the sports because, as much as I'd like to take a timeout here or there, that opportunity just doesn't present itself. There's not a TV timeout. There's just no stoppages where you can recover. Substitution rules are a little different. I can't just throw people in and out of the game, especially in the first half. A player has to stay on. As she comes off, she's done for that half. So there are certainly some differences. But you just do the best you can and try to make sure your kids are fit. You're going to have, especially in soccer, a period after 5 or 10 minutes where your ears are burning, can't breathe, you know, you're really sucking for air. And you have to get work your way through that, and you do get a second wind. And again, basketball, football, they do have some natural stoppages in play. They can sort of cover for that a little bit, but it definitely is something that if you're not used to, if you've never experienced it, can be a little troublesome because you get a little worried, you get panicky, and you don't know if you're going to recover. You try to inform the kids, yeah, you are. You're just going to have to sort of tough it through. You know, I think Nebraska will probably have enough talent to be able to deal with Wyoming this weekend.
Coach, one more thing before I turn it back over to Tony. Talk to you a little bit more. Does your season start to get defined this weekend? If you're going to make that conference tournament, these are kind of, I hate to say must win, but they're games you need to win unless you're going to go pull a couple upsets.
Well, you know, it is early in the conference season. I haven't used the phrase must yet, but I think our kids know they are important. We also talked about last year and the fact that Colorado Christian was the bottom team in our conference. Unfortunately, we had a loss and a tie against them. Had we just achieved two ties against them, we would have made the conference tournament. So I think our kids know the importance of these two games without putting a little bit of undue pressure about a must win. But I think everybody's going to be very disappointed if we don't have a successful weekend.
Is there a rivalry in soccer that you guys have established at all, or any coaches you'd like to just punch in the face instead of compete against?
You know, I haven't really thought about that. I don't think we have a true rivalry yet. I think we did play Fort Hays in a pre-conference game this year, and I can see that going that path. There's not any coaches in our current conference that I would have anything negative to say about, but I've run into a few over the course of my 15 years that if I do see them again, it'll be way too soon.
Well, Mike, we'll let you get on out of here. Who's hot right now on this team? We talked about Becca Talcott. Preseason, who's emerged? Guys and gals going to go out and watch the team this weekend. Who's a new face that has emerged for you?
Well, Rolly Mercer is a returner, but she's a kid who sort of was a secondary player in terms of getting awards and achievement last year. She's scored 3 goals so far this year, had a couple of assists. She's really playing well. She's taking her game sort of to the next level. You know, you hear coaches with that cliche all the time. But she has. She's really, in parts of games, decided, hey, I've got the ball at my feet. I'm going to go score a goal. And sometimes as a coach, you see that, you really appreciate it, and sometimes it's nice to see something click in a player's head that sort of says, hey, they understand what soccer's like at this level, and they're trying to do those things. So come out, watch Rolly play. Ashton Plosky again. Hastings girl, as any freshman would be, she's having ups and downs, but she scored a couple of goals. We are certainly more dangerous offensively this year, and I think the fans would appreciate that, enjoy seeing that.
All right, Coach, we appreciate the time. Best of luck this weekend. We'll see you again soon.
Very good. Thank you very much.
That's Mike Munch. He's the head soccer coach at UNK. Again, Friday, start your weekend, 12 noon at Foster Field. Sunday, they go at 1 o'clock. And again, for the Lopers, it's homecoming. It's homecoming weekend, so they're part of that. The football team playing Western at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. And the Hall of Fame class is going in. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk with Eric Strand. Mike Ashley, Tony, is going to join you on Friday's program. Also going in, Jenny Mao Luke, Coach Dan Simmons, Jessica Kodrowski Carlisle from the women's basketball team. They're all going into the Hall of Fame ceremonies Friday night, and then, of course, they'll be introduced during the football game on Saturday. UNK cross country team did pretty well at the Woody Greeno invite over the weekend. As the men finished 8th, the women 16th out of this competition that has numerous schools in there. Al Santabria, of course, out of Minden, finished 5th overall in a field of 305 runners. Not bad for the Minden grad.
He just ran home from that meet. He didn't get on the bus. He said, hell, I'll meet you there.
Brooke Harris led the women. The Lopers run again at the Oklahoma State Cowboy Jamboree in Stillwater next weekend. And, of course, Vanessa Gudawan, just a 17-year-old, and I always butcher that name. I think it's Gunawan, if I got that right, Peter Yazmak. But she's 17, and she's going on to the Small College Championships in Mobile, Alabama. Jake Spitzelberger, the RMAC Offensive Player of the Week, and as we told you, Leitner is the Player of the Week in all of Division II. The volleyball team picks up another win last night against Hastings, back on the road this weekend for more conference action.
Yeah, like you said, homecoming weekend, this is a game the Lopers, you know, they're gonna steamroll this team. If you like offense, go out and watch the three quarters of that till it's 63-0.
We'll be back with more on the Doug and Bounty Show. Bob Jensen's going to join us. Steve Sipple. We're live with our weekly Wednesday Husker Lunch here at Cunningham's Journal. Stop by, enjoy a great lunch, anything you want out of the kitchen, and we will be back with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
I'm in the I need cordless cutting shears to finish this vent work business.
At Granger, we know what business you're in.
I'm in the if you can help my business, then you'll get my business business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Granger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. If you're like me, you end up making a lot of plans on the fly, whether that's what you're doing after work tonight or if you want to go to a game on Saturday. And that's where StubHub comes in. StubHub has partnered with teams like Texas, Michigan, Florida State, so that you're free to score the seats you want right up until game time. So go ahead, call an audible this Saturday. Head over to StubHub and score the seats you want to college football's biggest games, even at the last minute.
StubHub!
Farmers, investing in irrigation could be the best decision you'll ever make for your farm's future success. So why not invest in the best? Buy a quarter-mile T&L pivot irrigation system and save $6,500 during T&L's Invest in the Best Harvest Special. It's going on now. Call T&L Irrigation or your T&L dealer today to learn more. T&L, proven technology that works.
Create a lasting remembrance of your loved one with help from the compassionate family at Brand Wilson Funeral Home and Cremation. Family-owned since 1935, Brand Wilson was founded to provide truly personalized services in a beautiful and dignified setting at an affordable lower cost. Brand Wilson Funeral Home and Cremation. Our family caring for yours. With locations in Hastings, Kennesaw, Harvard, and Roseland. Online at brandwilson.com.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Friday night brings you more exciting high school football on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. On ESPN 1550, Hastings travels to Scott's Bluff. On 1230 KHAS, Adams Central is at Gehring. On The Breeze 94.5 FM, Ravenna is at St. Cecilia. And on Classic Hits 98.9, Amherst is at Bertrand. All games kick off at 7 o'clock Friday night. And don't forget to check us out on the web as well at PlatteRiverPreps.com.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today with northwest winds increasing to 10 to 20, a high temperature reaching 70 degrees. For tonight, skies become mostly clear, winds diminish to light and variable with a low temperature of 42. Right now, 59.
Doug and Daddy Show rolls on from our Husker Lunch at Cunningham's Journal. We invite you to come on out. It's open and it's free to everyone. You pay for your own lunch, of course, and you can have anything off the great menu here at Cunningham's. Don't have to worry about one thing, two things, three things. You can have the whole thing. Daddy, look at that nice menu. What are you getting?
Well, I'm getting a Philly steak wrap to start things off with as an appetizer. Then I'm going to have a BLT. Then I thought I'd get something light on the soups and salads menu by having a bacon wrapped salmon salad.
Wow. Come join us, folks. There is great lunch every day, and especially today for the Husker Lunch. Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star. Come on in. We're open at Cunningham's for lunch every day. Please join us today. Can't wait. Daddy.
Well, if you have not been to Cunningham's Journal, if you watch Man vs. Food, as many people do, they have those restaurants that got the Juicy Lucy, okay, where they put the cheese in the middle of the burger, then they cook it, and it just oozes out all over. Boom goes the dynamite. They've got it right here, Cunningham's Journal.
Oh, you are so fired up. By the way, we want to remind everyone that our Loper Link in our first segment brought to you by our friends at Garrett Tire, Tread and Appliance. Check them out online at garretttire.net. And by Russ Smith at CharterWest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from new construction, home, commercial, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loans. You have the reasons, we have the loans. It's Wednesday. That means Robert Jensen.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. He's got game.
Bob Jensen from the worldwide headquarters in Central City, where the Bison remain red hot, joins us as he does every Wednesday on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bob, good morning, and how happy are you to be a Bison today?
Technically, dude, A, I'm happy, but I'm mainly happy because I just listened to Tony get off on that menu review that he just gave. But beyond that, see, I'm not really a Bison. I'm a Cardinal through and through. But I know there's a lot of people within shouting distance of where I'm sitting right now that are extraordinarily happy to be Bison. 3-0 does not happen around here very often. So it is, as they say, a great day to be a Bison or near one.
Well, and Robert, you in passing, when we wrapped up last week, you mentioned it. What is going on with this turnaround?
Well, I tell you what, the offensive line, that's what's going on. I'll be honest, I've seen a lot of Bison football over the years, seen a lot of teams come and go. Many of them have had, as they say, good size in the line. Well, there's all kinds of good size in the line, okay? It hasn't always been real good size. This is good size. We've got some big, strong kids that are pretty determined, actually, and they've done a pretty good job of rooting out the defensive lines. Anytime you run for nearly 400 yards like Central City did last week against Gibbon, it's the real deal. They averaged 9 yards a carry. They had three guys over 100 yards. Jake Brown is the team's quarterback. He's doing a great job. A little kid by the name of Kyle Thomas, who's a sophomore, he came on strong at the end of last year under the radar. He averaged like 75, 80 yards on a bad football team the last month of the season. And then this year he's been over 100, I think, every game. And then the fullback, kind of a nice surprise, a kid by the name of Jake Anderson, and people who follow wrestling know that Jake Anderson's a returning state champion wrestler. He decided to go out for football, and he was over 100 yards. That offensive line, it's really good. You've got another wrestler on there who's one of the leaders, a kid by the name of Jacob Urban, and they're good. I mean, we'll see how good exactly on Friday night, because they play St. Paul. St. Paul's been around this block a couple of times. They have won a playoff game each of the last 4 years. We'll see the rubber will hit the road Friday night.
If you got a question for Bob, shoot us a quick email to the Dent Popper inbox, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com.
Bob, right in our backyard, Kearney Catholic, what a win. What a win for the Stars. I can't believe it still. When I looked at the sheet that Doug handed me and saw the score again, I just shook my head. How did that happen? Are they that good?
They must be. They must be because, Cambridge is good. And as we all know, it isn't the fact that they beat them. And it isn't the fact that they beat them in Cambridge. It's the fact they beat them by 4 touchdowns in Cambridge. This a week after, they spent, about all the fuel in the tank to beat St. Pat's. That a week after they had played St. Cecilia on pretty much even terms all night, just wound up losing the game. They are a good football team. And like we said earlier, have a real good mix, have some senior leadership, some really outstanding young players, especially in the line. And like I said, when I went to see Kearney Catholic the other night when they played St. Pat's, what I wanted to watch, I wanted to see the Squires kid and I wanted to see the Lowry kid in the line. I had talked to Coach Cullen during the summer. He told me that Lowry was voted the outstanding lineman in the UNK camp, which is a huge achievement for anybody, but especially an incoming junior. You know, they hold up. I mean, those are a couple big boys. The skill players that, you know, Pacheco has got a good speed. He's, you know, and again, a veteran. They're good. And I tell you what, to be good and to stand out in C2, which is a really crowded class right now, makes that even more remarkable.
Bob Jensen of Husker Land Prep joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, live from Cunningham's Journal, our Husker Lunch today. Come on down. You're going to want lunch. You're going to want to talk Huskers. Do it here at Cunningham's Journal. Steve Sippel joins us at 12 noon. What stood out to you then, Bob, over the weekend? It started Thursday with Southwest upsetting Millard West. That's a game in Class A that continues to stir the pot there a little bit. You, by the way, I want to give you props. You were the smartest ranker in the state to put Kearney Catholic at 2 behind Hastings St. Cecilia, and you correctly predicted the Pleasanton SEM score on the number.
You know, that's almost as big a fluke as me getting a 17 on my SAT. I didn't see that coming either. But the thing is that you knew there was going to be a lot of points. And I did this morning share a couple moments on the phone with our dear friend, Coach Langan up at Sumner, who, you know, said he was really proud of his team and whatnot for hanging in there against Pleasanton, a team that's got a lot of weapons. And, you know, Pleasanton really proved its point here the last couple weeks. Those are huge wins. Obviously, they gave up some points, but they gave them up to teams with, marquee offensive stars. You know, obviously, Loomis has got Kalen Anderson. The Ersom kid is a real good football player. And then, you know, Lance English apparently is going to return a kick for a touchdown in every game this year. That must be part of his mantra. So, when Sumner and Loomis get together this week, that will be quite a deal. I will say this much, as far as what stood out, this is kind of in a weird way, but, you know, I wanted to check in on Howells last week. So I drive up to Howells, and they're playing Bloomfield, who is a ranked team. It's a team with, you know, 25 years of football heritage behind it. It looked like they were playing their little brothers. Howells just absolutely annihilated Bloomfield. It was, I don't know, it was 22-0 after 6 minutes, and the only reason it wasn't any more than that was that Howells only had it three times. They're everything that we have come to expect. And so I don't know if that, you know, that's maybe the same old story. I don't know if that makes it any different, but legitimately good. And then later in the evening I saw Humphrey High play. And those two teams play each other this week, and Howells is going to win that game. But Humphrey's good. Humphrey's got a good football team. And, again, you've almost got to – you don't want to completely rule out the possibility that Howells could lose a game somewhere, because it could happen. But in a year where Howells was in a different class, D2 would be the most exciting class in the state. Without a doubt. When it comes to the top five teams in any class, I think D2's got it on everybody else. When you talk about Howells, Humphrey, St. Francis, Giltner, and Sargent. I mean, those are five outstanding football teams, all of them that would be legitimate championship contenders in any other year.
Bob, you throw in the 4 weeks of the football season. You do this well before, but you rank your top 30 games. We always go through there. Gothenburg at Valentine this week, Bancroft-Rosalie at Pender, and Litchfield at Pleasanton. Those are three in your top 25. Any of those that you would drop out of there because things just haven't went well for one team or the other?
Well, you know, things have not worked at Gothenburg the way that I thought they would. That's a little bit odd to me, but there's still a lot of football to be played, especially getting a start over in district and whatnot. That is a huge district game, regardless of anybody's record. Valentine got beat last week by Winter, South Dakota, who's I believe the top ranked team in South Dakota's Class B. That's still an interesting game. Valentine is going to be one of those teams stuck up there in the corner. If they find a way to win this game, they could easily win that district and be a pretty decent seed when it comes to be playoff time. The pick of the litter there is something I wrote about on the website earlier today. Pender and Bancroft-Rosalie. Bancroft-Rosalie has cleaned its shoes on Pender football for the last, I don't know, 15 years. Last year, Pender was undefeated going into this game, and they did score 6 points, which might have been enough to win, except for the fact that Bancroft scored 60. And it has been brought to the boys in red attention that this is Bancroft coming to town on Friday night. And I talked to the coach, Greg Conroy, earlier this week, who told me that, you know, they try and keep it the same old coaches thing. You know, we're going to do this. Treat everybody the same. You know, we got to prepare. We got to get ourselves ready. We got to do all this. Okay, well, they're doing that. But in addition to doing that, every time they break a huddle in practice this week, they say, beat Bancroft. So, you know, I think it means a little bit more to Pender. We have Pender third in the state. They've got a great little quarterback by the name of Zach Johnson and one of the best underclassmen in D1, a kid by the name of Ben Burmester, who they moved to running back from tight end. He was great at tight end last year. He's fair at running back. Last week he ran for 249 and 6 touchdowns. So of those games, that's the one that will be the most – if, you know, clearly – Pender needs to win that and needs to win it by a substantial margin to kind of clear the record. But if they do that, you've got to start looking at Pender as a team that could possibly win the state championship.
I continue to sit here and chuckle every time we talk to Bob Jensen. Sometime we're just going to bring Bob on the show on a random day. We're going to throw out just a school. He's got to give us a player on that school, and I guarantee you he can do it for every one of the state. Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep joining us here. You can check him out online, huskerlandpreps.rivals.com. Updates every single day.
Who was our team the other night, Doug, that we didn't know on the scoreboard show? We got Twin River?
Yeah, that's Genoa and Osceola and Silver Creek, I believe. Or Genoa and Silver Creek and Monroe is Twin River. I checked that out for you, Daddy. Bob, I do look at this week. We start districts for most of the teams in Class A. Kearney will get Fremont. Grand Island will play Columbus. But Tony was talking about some of those top games. I'm looking at my sheet. I don't see a lot of competition. I mean, it's all on paper. But I don't see a lot of games that are even three-touchdown football games. Columbus, Grand Island might have a chance. Sutton, Donovan, Trumbull. Maybe Ravenna hangs with St. Cecilia. Overton, Elwood from our backyard. This might be a week where some folks have to travel to find great football. Where are you headed?
Well, actually, that is still kind of to be determined. To me, the most interesting game in the state, and I hate to keep going back to it, but I'm telling you what, Burke is good. Burke is good. I lobbied for them a little bit with our friends at Rivals, and they are actually ranked in the National 100 this week. They're number 93, according to RivalsHigh.com. They play Papillion, and this should be a really one-sided game because Papillion hasn't really played anybody yet. But that is a game that interests me quite a bit. I tell you, the thing with Ravenna and St. Cecilia is an interesting game. I don't know. St. Cecilia is just really good, you know. And really, we talked earlier that if the door was ever going to be open for them to maybe not be great, it might be this year since they've got so many holes to fill. Well, that didn't exactly work out, okay? They're pretty good. They're pretty good. You know, as long as you've got Phil Hamburger, like we said last week, best player on the field, almost assuredly every game they're going to play. But it will be interesting this week to see if Trevor Saborn can get loose against them. I mean, the kid's obviously a really skilled running quarterback. And if he's able to do some things, you know, that could make it – could make it interesting, and I guess you always want to see your top teams get tested. And I think Ravenna's a really good team. It'll be interesting to see how that matches up. And one other game that I would mention that's a kind of a state scope, I guess. There have been very few programs, Duda, worse than Conestoga in the last 15 years. I mean, here's a program that petitioned the NSAA to go from C1 to 8-man, thinking they could maybe win a few games, which they did. Of course, then they went back to playing C1 football last year and got annihilated. Well, this year, things are different. Conestoga's 3-0. Now, granted, they haven't exactly played a murderer's row, but they're 3-0, and they're going to play Platteview tonight. Another program that just absolutely stunk for years until it moved from B to C1 last year, caught a really good senior class, and actually won a playoff game. So you've got Platteview and Conestoga playing a game that matters, and I didn't know if I would live long enough to say that sentence. So that game interests me.
Well, we do have one email here, and I don't know if this is from Huck over in Elwood or not, but he wants to know your scouting report on Overton now that they've struggled out of the gate.
Well, you know, Overton has struggled out of the gate, but in fairness, they've lost to two top 10 teams. They've lost to the team that we have rated number one in Kennesaw and Shelton. Not only is Shelton pretty good, Shelton and Kennesaw also share something in common, and that is they've lived the last 12 months waiting for a shot at Overton after getting killed by them last year. Obviously, Overton's got had some big holes to fill. We went down that path last week. You know, I still contend that, especially in our listening area, that there wasn't a team that missed a single player more than Overton missed Jacob Jensen last year. The kid was just fabulous. And Zach Olmstead was another, not only outstanding, but probably really underrated. If you can be that good and be underrated, that was Zach Olmstead. This team is obviously not as good as it was last year, but I think that Overton-Elwood game has actually got a chance to be pretty interesting. And I don't know, this may be the kiss of death, but I think Overton wins that game.
All right, buddy, we'll let you get out of here. Well, next week is loaded with great football games, including Shelton-Kennesaw. So, Bob, we'll talk to you next Wednesday and enjoy this week's football game.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks a lot, boys. We'll talk to you then.
From Husker Prep Report, Bob Jensen. You can always, again, check him out online, huskerlandpreps.rivals.com. Updates throughout the day, every day, on the very latest when it comes to high school football. And, again, we'll have the Shelton-Kennesaw game here on ESPN next week. So, Ravenna Kearney Catholics next week. Just a lot more great football games coming your way over the next week. As the Doug and Daddy Show is here at Cunningham's, we invite you to come down and join us for our Wednesday Husker Lunch. Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star will be on hand to talk Husker football. Come on in, order off the menu, great food selection, get here early. And we'll get you settled in and get you back to work before 1 o'clock here at Cunningham's Journal. Can't wait to see you. Midway Auto Group broadcast booth is on the road today. Midway, if you need to get your vehicle taken care of, Midway is the place to do it. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram's all-new Mopar Quick Lube. It's immediate maintenance service with quality, complete service that saves time and money from their expert crew. Right now, you get an oil change, maintenance inspection, and car wash. It's done in under 30 minutes, and you don't even have to make an appointment for under $30. You can enjoy complimentary cappuccino and wireless internet while you wait. And don't forget to always check out the very latest at thinkmidway.com. It is the top website in the business. We will be back with more, including Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star. Stay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show live from Cunningham.
Cars take us to some pretty interesting places. But have you ever thought about the trip gasoline takes through your car? It all starts with your car's fuel injectors and intake valves. If they're dirty, your engine may not run as smoothly. That's why Exxon and Mobil gasolines are designed at the molecular level to help clean up intake valves and help keep fuel injectors clean. End result? A smoother running engine with cleaner emissions. And you can concentrate on the interesting places. It's just one more way Exxon and Mobil make gasoline work harder for you.
Hey, Golic.
Yes, Greeny.
What's the one thing baseball and business have in common?
Well, that's easy. Meatballs.
I'm not going to even try to understand that. The correct answer is La Quinta Inns and Suites.
Well, that was my second choice.
Because when you stay at La Quinta with their flat panel TVs, tons of HD channels, comfy pillow top beds, and a free bright side breakfast, your business trip will clearly be a grand slam, figuratively, of course.
Well, of course, figuratively.
Do you even know that word?
No, but I do know this. La Quinta takes care of everything, so you can take care of business. Book your next successful stay at LQ.com.
And wake up on the bright side.
Hey, where are those meatballs anyway?
Check your pockets.
Whether you need to pick off a prairie dog or call in a turkey, the Boathouse in Grindallen has a variety of ammunition and hunting accessories that true outdoorsmen like yourself want. The Boathouse is more than just boats. It's ammo, live bait, and it's the right stuff, all in one place, so you can have more time in the fields or the lake, doing what you like to do best. The Boathouse. Boats, hunting, accessories, ammo, and live bait. North Highway 281 in Grindallen.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney. at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today with northwest winds increasing to 10 to 20, a high temperature reaching 70 degrees. For tonight, skies become mostly clear, winds diminish to light and variable with a low temperature of 42. Right now, 59.
Doug and Danny Show rolls on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live here from Cunningham's Journal for our weekly Wednesday Husker Lunch. Every Wednesday we're here at Cunningham's. Either Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal star, or Sean Callahan of HuskersOnline.com joins us. And later on in the program, we're going to talk to Sip, and then he's going to be talking to you here. So come to Cunningham's, enjoy your Wednesday lunch, get something good to eat, and we'll be ready to roll here. But we got a few other things to talk about on the show before Sip comes on up and talks to us. Again, the big story right now is Oklahoma kind of stepping up and saying, you get rid of BB and we'll probably stay in the Big 12 Conference.
Well, and deal with the Longhorn Network, I think, is another deal. They've got to come to some
consensus. What are they going to do with the Longhorn Network? That's a done deal. ESPN, you're not going to lose in court to ESPN. You're not going to beat ESPN in court.
Well, they're not going to get their way on everything they want to do with the station, Doug. And all people want is for them to concede some things.
Okay, all right. Okay, I see what you're saying. That Texas will concede some things and make and ESPN allows Texas to concede some things. I can understand that. But for the rest of the schools, the other nine schools, to try and force the hand here of this Longhorn Network.
It's interesting because you go back. Nebraska voted for Dan Beebe. Oklahoma was for Dan Beebe. Texas was the one that didn't want him as commissioner at the start. So it's a little bit, the roles are reversed right now, but it is interesting that some of the news coming out of the Oklahoma camp is, and when I say camp, I mean their administration, what they're telling people is, hey, the leadership wasn't there. When we could have held this thing together and still had Nebraska in here and things the way they were, and been one of the, you know, nobody's talking about them being one of the four super conferences. All right, the Big 12 would go away. But now the Pac-12 comes out and says, no, we're fine, we're not expanding, we don't need any more teams right now. So, you know, it's interesting what's going on. We'll have more realignment talk later in the week. Stuff seems to happen every hour. It's a he said, she said right now, and I don't know how many people are really holding people, you know, accountable for what they're saying. Now it's just kind of chaos right now. During football season, we should be talking about football.
Well, and we go to the Dent Popper inbox. Kelly has fired in. Have you checked out the NSAA site with the winter sports coming out with their districts? We talked about wrestling last week. And again, this is great. Kearney High and Kearney Catholic both get to host a wrestling district this year. Okay, that's great. They're on the same days in the same community where you're going to house over 35 wrestling teams, which, you know, you only get them once every so often. Well, there's like 16 teams in the Kearney Catholic District, 8 or 9 in the Kearney High District. Let's bring them in here the same day. Grand Island's hosting, Elm Creek's hosting. So there you go. And you can check out basketball. That's what Kelly was talking about. Adams Central moves back up to Class C. The C-19 sub-district has Minden, Kearney Catholic, St. Cecilia, Adams Central, and Gibbon.
Well, that's fair.
I mean, you're just looking at some of these where you're just wondering. And then you look at the other side. There's four teams in there. It's like Valentine, Ainsworth, crap, and more crap. I mean, it's like there's nobody over there that even has a chance to compete with the four or five teams in the other sub-districts. You can check that out if you haven't seen your future prognostications here or future opponents in the sub-districts. Tri-City Storm begin the fall classic in Sioux City tonight. They'll be taking on Fargo at 6 o'clock. You can hear it on stormhockey.com. Then tomorrow, the Storm will play against the defending Clark Cup champion Dubuque. You'll hear that on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. And then on Friday afternoon, they take on the defending Eastern Conference champions from Green Bay, their final tune-up before the regular season. And that'll be at 1 o'clock Friday on Classic Hits, 98.9.
Some other random thoughts here before we move on. Luke McCown, that didn't take long. He's out. Blaine Gabbert is in as the quarterback for the Jaguars. 16-year-old Lexi Thompson, she became the youngest player to win on the LPGA Tour over the weekend. Well, she plans to petition for an exemption to the tour's 18-year-old age requirement because since she turned pro, she's played 14 events, had three top 10 finishes, and earned more than $500,000. She is not Michelle Wee.
Well, closer to Daniel Lemick.
She's earning it on the course. By the way, we talked about Jared Crick mixing practice. He really got a nice award. He is the one of 22 players nationally to be named to the All-State Good Works team, the two-time first-team All-Conference selection being recognized for his many off-field endeavors. As a senior, is a two-time member of the Brooke Barringer Citizenship Team, and he's made several hospital visits, reading at elementary schools, visiting with World War II veterans, speaking at churches. He's just the 11th Husker to receive this award, and first since Dane Todd back in 2006. And maybe the biggest thing going on in the state tonight, unless you wanted to comment there,
go ahead.
Is the volleyball match tonight. Can Nebraska beat Penn State? They have all of their team is freshmen and sophomores outside of two seniors.
I don't care, but it's on the Big Ten Network. It's a great way to kick off the volleyball season, draw some more interest to that sport. That's all I care about.
Probably sell out the Coliseum.
Probably.
The Nebraska School Activities Association has made their decision for state volleyball, and Hastings has been left out of the home sites 2012 and 2013. The NSAA decided to accept Grand Island's four-site plan instead of six, which would have included Hastings High and Adams Central. Now, they'll still play in Hastings this year, but in 2012 and 2013, using just four sites in Grand Island. And what that means? It means they're going to start way earlier in the morning and go way later into night. It would be much nicer to have one class at one venue. You can start like you have the last couple of years, but that's what that will mean. It'll be more like the basketball you see. And speaking of basketball, Nebraska picks up a point guard, their fourth commitment. Everybody was worried. Their fourth commitment here in 3 weeks from a point guard out of Kansas City, who has helped his team to back-to-back 4A state championships, averaging nearly 20 points and 7 assists per ball game.
Well, a lot of football talk with Steve Sipple coming up. The last time Nebraska played Wyoming, Doug, does it stick vividly in your mind?
Yeah, Brooke Barringer got his lung collapsed.
There you go.
1994, it was one of the closest games of the entire year when Nebraska won the national championship.
Actually, the first start for Brooke Barringer after they found the blood clots in Tommy Frazier's leg. That's kind of an interesting deal. And
that's where Matt Turman had to come in the following week down at Kansas State and just turn and hand it off to LP.
Yeah, and he punished people.
2 for 4, Matt Turman was in that game through the air. 2 for 4.
Unbelievable. That's a trick play when we threw back then. So, you know, it's interesting. You think back to that year, and I believe Wyoming fumbled a punt or something inside to about the 20-yard line. We got the ball scored. It was about 42-32. You're right. One of the more interesting games that year in the national championship run. So it's interesting to go back that far in memory, Brooke Barringer's first start.
Husker Lunch, come out and chat with us and Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal star here at Cunningham's Journal. Come in, grab some lunch, folks, continuing to filter in. And if you get here at 12:05, that's fine. You get here at 12:10, that's fine. That's about the time Sip's going to start anyway. Talking Husker football, recapping Washington in the first three games, talking about the injury situation with Dennard, what's up with Jared Crick, what's going on with the defense, how is the offense progressing, what's up with Wyoming. We're a week away from Big Ten play, and he'll answer all your questions as well. Delusional Husker fan has chimed in here at Cunningham's.
Does he still hate you?
Still on the same thread here, but he doesn't hate me yet today. He goes, did you happen to see where Missouri said they're considering joining the SEC? But the SEC says they never even invited Missouri. Delusional says, I think Missouri said the same thing about the Big Ten. Nobody wants you, Missouri.
You're absolutely right. You've got to bring some value to the conference. What does Missouri bring? They sell out their own stadium. That's pathetic. You bring no value, and when we're talking value, you're talking football. They bring none.
And before we go to our final break here and then talk to Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal star, notice this today. There's a story in the Hastings Tribune about it. But this is one of those that kind of hits close to home when you're growing up and you wanted to get into this business and maybe one of these people came up and said hi or they gave you a tour or they acted interested. A longtime Hastings television personality, Bob Bowie, passed away on Monday. Was living in Columbus. He worked at NTV. He worked at KHAS. After kind of moving on and retiring, he came back and did some special pieces passes away at the age of 81. And one of the things many people may not know about him, he grew up in Chicago. Boy, he was a Chicago kid, and you would have never known that. But he was one of the first people on the scene when Buddy Holly's plane went down in Iowa and wrote the national story, one of the feature ones that first went out that talked about Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the big bopper J.P. Richardson in February of 1959 when their plane went down in Iowa, and then went on and was loved by many folks throughout central Nebraska. So to Bob Bowie's family, what a great guy he was.
Bad deal. But I guess 81 lived a good full life.
We'll take a break. Back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show, live from our Husker Lunch at Cunningham's. Plenty of seats. Come on in. Join us. Enjoy some lunch. Talk some Husker football. We're back after this.
Hey, man. A lot of football this weekend. Want to go tablegating at Buffalo Wild Wings?
Tablegating? What's that?
Glad you asked. So there is this really cool place where you can pour cold beer down your face, scarf some wings, and watch football on flat screens 8 miles tall. Because we're going tablegating. A place where we can watch football. We're going tablegating all day long.
Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. Let's take another question.
Hi, Flo. I saved a ton of money with Progressive's discounts.
Great, but that's not really a question.
Oh, you're right. I saved a ton of money with Progressive's discounts?
Still not quite right, but you get the idea. Progressive makes it easy to save.
Right.
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Speed. Power. Contact. Storm Hockey is action on a stick. And the stations of Platte River Radio are where you hear it all. Thursday at 6:45, the Storm are at the Dubuque Fighting Saints on The Breeze, 94.5 FM. Friday afternoon at 12:45, the Storm are at the Des Moines Buccaneers on Classic Hits 98.9 FM.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The crowd continues to roll in for the noon hour here at Cunningham's Journal on the Bricks North Side here in downtown Kearney, located on 23rd Street. And we do have the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth on the road. And folks, more exciting news from our friends at Midway. All you have to do to have a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Nebraska-Ohio State game, the hardest ticket to get, is like them on Facebook. Go on Facebook, type in Midway. You're going to like Midway, and then you can sign up to win a pair of tickets to the Ohio State game. Nebraska, Ohio State, the toughest tickets to get for a home game this year. That's what Midway does for you, besides all the great things they do on a regular basis. The Midway Auto Group. Check them out. Check them out online. ThinkMidway.com, and also check them out on Facebook for your chance to win a pair of tickets. The drawing is coming up on September the 30th, so do it today. And we are here on Wednesdays, as always, to talk Husker football. And Tony, this week, Lincoln Journal Star, because I read nothing else than the Journal Star, is the Husker beat writer Steve Stipple. And there's a few questions this week. You know, the funny thing is, and I mentioned this, was there one question Tuesday? One. I think one question Monday. About Wyoming. One, maybe two questions in 30 minutes about Wyoming. One about Dave Christensen and one about their quarterback, whose name was not brought up in the question and was not brought up by Bo Pelini, because all Bo said was the standard, he's a good football player. He's a good football player. We know a lot about him.
Well, Stephen M. Stipple was live in person at that press conference. Sip,
I wasn't there. I didn't go. I had a speaking engagement. I didn't go. I got. You know what the big question here is? Oh, you got that World Herald.
Well, somebody gave it to me on the way in. I stopped and read the Journal Star, as I always do in the morning.
The correct answer is they were out of TP.
We joke because we care. You guys, I haven't saw you get into fights with Barf Neck. I'd love to see you and Chattel throw down. That would be good.
That'd be a good brawl.
Chip, immediate thoughts. Take us back to last week. pluses, minuses. First of all, the pluses had to be the offense in the second half. I thought running the ball down the stretch when we needed first down. Burkhead is a man child out there just destroying people.
Yeah, Burkhead runs hard. He did the last 2 weeks there at the end. But he's getting, against Washington, I thought they got a better push-up run. I thought the offensive line was the story of the game offensively for Nebraska. Barney rotated guys more. You know, I thought they found something in that line they used for their opening drive of the second half when they scored that touchdown, I think in six plays. And they had Searles at one tackle, Hardrick at one tackle, Spencer Long at one guard. And they, who was the other guard? It wasn't Choi. It was Brandon Thompson, who they haven't used hard. I can't think of his name because they haven't used Brandon much. And then, of course, they have the mainstay at center, Caputo. But I thought the line play is going to be the key going forward.
Go ahead. A lot was made after the game for the Washington side of things. There were three strange calls or strange predicaments the officials were put in. Have you guys done any research on the kickoffs? I mean, that was just the way it was, and we everybody moved on.
I thought the calls were questionable. Actually, I thought Sarkisian had a good point. I mean, on the kicker interference, I thought the kid's tackle, was it Marlowe or I don't even remember. Yeah, I thought it was, I didn't think it was a penalty, but I didn't, honestly, though, I don't. What are the other two you're talking about?
Well, the one right before the half was pretty much just a missed call, it looked like, where they picked it up. Obviously couldn't advance them up, but we touched it, it looked like.
Oh, yeah. That was critical. I just thought they missed that call. I thought Marlowe hit that. I thought it grazed Marlowe, right?
Well, that's what some people thought. Then some people thought it was a Washington kid. I don't know if anybody ever slowed it down and went back.
No, I didn't slow it down and went back because I think ultimately – you know, Nebraska won convincingly enough that I don't know that it matters that much. But I thought that ball grazed Marlowe.
We move on to practice this week. Dennard's practicing. Crick is not. Sounds like Crick's going to be able to go. Dennard, yesterday after practice, Carl Pellini basically said, if he said he's 99%, I would think he'd be ready to play Saturday.
Well,
what's your thought?
My thought on that is a little different. I was among the pack of reporters that talked to Alfonso Dennard after practice on Monday. And, I mean, I asked him point blank, are you ready? He said, not really. He said, I'm ready physically. I'm not ready mentally. He sounded hesitant to me. I think they got to proceed with caution with him. He revealed what the injury was, which I thought was interesting. It's a slight tear of the quadricep. It's not a... You have to be very careful with him. I don't know if you'll see him or not. He's practicing. He's not practicing full go. And Crick, I don't know. I mean, he got popped in the ear hole. We know that. If you look at the game, you can see it. It's the very last play of the game. I suspect he'll be back. You never know. I don't know this, but if it's a concussion, I don't know if he'll be back.
Your thoughts after seeing multiple situations like this, if you get Dennard, a lot of people saying you shouldn't need Dennard against Wyoming. I agree, you shouldn't need Dennard against Wyoming, but it gives him a way to go through the routine and get warmed up before the big game instead of just going into the big game. And everybody, I don't know anybody that doesn't think he's not playing next week.
If he's fine, if he's healthy, I think that's okay. But if he's not, I think I just would proceed with caution. I mean, if it were me and I was calling it's hard to call these shots without knowing exactly where he's at health-wise. But if there's any doubt, I don't think the tune-up's necessary for a veteran. I think you just wait another week and put him out there against Wisconsin, and I wouldn't worry about it that much. Although I'm hearing a lot of people say, no, you absolutely got to get him a game. I don't agree with that.
Baptiste moves from wide receiver to cornerback or nickel or whatever. Is that a big deal? Any position change in the Husker Nation is a huge deal, but is it?
Yeah, I mean, Tony, it's kind of it's interesting because Stanley Jean Baptiste was right on the cusp of playing as a receiver. I mean, he's right on the outside there. In August, he was a guy that was being mentioned prominently. Now, the interesting thing about it is he's 6'3", 220. And they got him looking at him as a corner, but I think they're mostly looking at him as a nickel. And, you know, in the past, they played those safeties at nickel. At times, you know, Golden is pretty big. So it makes sense. He played safety in high school. Never played corner. But he did play some safety. He had three picks as a senior. He's been mainly a receiver. It's an interesting thing to me because he's so big. You know, he's such a big body. And you know what it indicates to me? Well, there's no secret. If you watch any video of Carl Pelini, or if you heard Carl Pelini after practice yesterday, he made it very clear they're struggling in the secondary. So they're looking for things right now.
Steve Sipple with us for another minute on the Doug and Daddy Show. Then we're going to turn him over to the folks here and the Husker fans at Cunningham's Journal in the loft. Come on in for our Husker lunch. Get a little lunch and talk Husker football here and ask questions with Steve Sipple. Had Dave Christensen on yesterday. They are looking. They've got to win the turnover battle. Nebraska hasn't been great in the first three. There's been weirder things. Toledo, Ohio State, Wyoming's 3-0. I said all summer long that this seemed to be a game that was trap game written all over it. Now it is for a totally different reasons. It's not like Nebraska's defense is number one in the country. How does Wyoming hang with Nebraska Saturday?
Turnover. So what you said, I was telling somebody in the crowd, Andy Griffith from Midway Motors. I don't think Wyoming can stop Nebraska straight up. I think Nebraska will run up and down the field. So how's Wyoming stay close? Of course, turnover. That's what could keep them close and give them some momentum. I just don't see them. I mean, Bowling Green had over 400 yards at halftime. I don't know.
Heck of a comeback by Wyoming in that football game.
I don't know that Wyoming can stop Nebraska. And you know what I envision? It's a pretty high-scoring game. If Nebraska plays well, I think they can get 55 or so. If Wyoming plays well, probably gets 28. There you have it.
It was 42-32 the last time they met, Tony.
Yeah, 1994, Brooke Behringer's first start. And Tommy Frazier got the blood clots in his legs, and he comes in and gets the partially collapsed lung in that one. And seems like that was about, a year and a half ago, and it's been 16 years. Yeah, you hardly remember it now, but... we'll get you a microphone in your hand and turn you over to the Husker Lunch. Thanks so much for stopping by and coming to Kearney and visit with the masses.
Yeah, it's really fun. This is one of the favorite things I do during the week. I appreciate it, Tony.
Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star. And, Danny, anything else you want to touch on today?
Well, you know, I'm just looking forward to Saturday college football. There's some great games out there, Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, Florida State at Clemson, and, you know, Missouri at Oklahoma is a 21-point game, but remember, Missouri knocked them off a year ago. I think going back home to Norman, they come up a big win against Florida State, but I'd love to see Missouri on the short end of about a 60-2 beating.
We will make our predictions on Friday. I'm going to leave mine with you because I'm going to be heading out to Laramie for the football game on Friday. Can't wait to get out there. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And you're going to have some great guests on Friday's program, including Mike Ashe. Going into UNK's Hall of Fame tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show as we wrap it up here, Merritt. Tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, Eric Strand is going in, the all-time leading scorer at the University of Nebraska. Kearney is going to join us. Jeff Erickson from rotowire.com to answer all of your fantasy football questions. And we've just confirmed that joining us tomorrow at 11:30, a world champion, Jordan Burroughs, joins us tomorrow, coming back from Turkey to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show after winning the world title at 163 pounds just last weekend. So Jordan Burroughs, Eric Strand, Jeff Erickson, your emails, your phone calls tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. And today we want to thank Loper soccer coach Mike Munch, Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report, and of course, Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star.
M. Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star. Folks, come to Cunningham's for lunch. Get out of work a little bit early. We'll have you back by 1. We'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460 in Kearney, 1550 on the AM dial in Hastings.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.